Hello and welcome to NJ Biz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanage. My guest today is Wendy Paul. She is the Executive Director of the Jersey City Apartment Owners Association. Wendy, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeff.
Oh, thanks for taking the time to do it. I appreciate it. I wanted to talk about a couple of things, actions in two of New Jersey's two largest cities, Jersey City and Newark, having to do with tenant protections. But first, I just want to make sure our viewers understand who you represent. I mean, the Jersey City Apartment Owners Association, obviously the name says a lot. What does the membership look like? Are these large businesses, mom and pop businesses? Who do you represent?
Thank you so much for the question. And again, thank you so much for having me today. The Jersey City Apartment Owners Association represents the interests of all apartment owners, all property owners throughout Jersey City. And it's not just the large buildings and the towers, it's everyone from the two family homes and beyond. The people who have the apartments within the two, three, four family homes, and also like the large towers, there are a lot of the regulations that affect all property owners, especially as it relates to apartments.
Okay, so a variety of different sizes of businesses that you're talking about.
That is correct.
Okay, so first let's start with Jersey City since that's where you are. That's what your name is. The City Council, as I understand it, approved an ordinance that provides free representation to tenants facing eviction. Now, I'm guessing you're, I can probably guess why you're opposed to this, but explain it to me. What is so bad about tenants having lawyers? I'm assuming that the landlords have lawyers when they're trying to evict a tenant. Why is it so bad that a tenant shouldn't have a lawyer?
So there were two ordinances that were passed. Number one was the creation for the Office of Tenant Services and Right to Counsel. So renters have access to a lawyer should they be facing specifically evictions.
Right.
And the establishment of that office, if that is a service that the city is to provide, which was passed, then that should be done. The challenge comes with the funding of the establishment of this. It's tens of millions of dollars that are being earmarked for the creation of this office, and it is being done with the development impact fees. And while it seems that it is a small amount, when the services that are being provided that are going to one particular group to fund this all is where the challenge comes in.
Okay.
It creates a chilling effect to solve for a crisis, as they're calling, that doesn't exist. When this was first being proposed and on behalf of the membership and everyone who's affected by it, we pointed out that they're signaling that there is a crisis without the data to prove it. There was no impact study that was done. And if someone is facing eviction, they don't need a lawyer. What they need is rental assistance. So the creation of that does not provide any assistance for a tenant, let alone the property owner that is going to have that. Number two, tens of millions of dollars are not going to rental assistance. It's going to lawyers. So back, you know, to that same issue. We also had this being created without any conversations with the stakeholders. And yes, the conversations of hearing the anecdotal stories of people that are being evicted, but by definition, it is a process, and it's an adjudicated process that you are being removed from your home, not the the other, again, stories that are heard because the data wasn't presented.
Right. Okay.
And most of all, more than anything, the creation of these types of fees, while they're trying to hurt the larger developments and everything else, it's actually a fee that's being passed through to the tenants and, in short, raising the rent that tenants are that are already paying. And the creation of it is 20% of the development impact fees will be to fund the office, and the remainder of it is to create affordable housing. But there are funds right now currently in the Affordable Housing Trust Fund that could provide that rental assistance.
Okay.
And go directly to aid as opposed to earmarking millions of dollars for lawyers.
Okay. So essentially what I hear you saying is that the city would be better off actually getting the rent paid on behalf of these people or helping them pay the rent rather than fighting what might be inevitable if they can't pay the rent. Am I?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you think about a property owner, even with the moratorium that happened during the pandemic, property owners still have to pay the same bills you and I have, PSC&G, any other related service, and even just the investment to maintain your property. Now, a fee of, and it's $1.5, $7,500 on the equalized assessed value, that's $7,500 before anything else. That's a number that I use so people can have an understanding. If $7,500 is being earmarked just to go towards that interest, mm-hmm. and no funds from the municipal budget, in other right to counsel offices, it comes out of the regular budget. Jersey okay. City has established this fee to fund that.
Okay. So, and how much money are we talking about for it? I mean, you mentioned $7,500 in aggregate. Is this a lot? I think you said millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Is that you're saying it's going to be passed through the tenants. So it's not really hitting the owners. Yes.
Ultimately, it is going to the owners and it's going to be passed through to the tenants.
Okay.
The goal is to, of the ordinance, about $20 million, where $4 million of it will be earmarked for the right to counsel office. And it was passed recently. The office will not be established until 2026. However, the funds are starting to be collected this month. And the office is not active right now. The fees are being collected right now. And what is being described as a crisis, what is being celebrated and, you know, the backslapping hand happened. Tenants do not have access to this until 2026.
Okay.
So where is the crisis? And if this was something that needed to be handled right now as urgent as it was told to be, it is a crisis that they're not putting out the fire until 3 years.
Okay. I ask that because I'm curious as to what this does to Jersey City's reputation as a business friendly city. I mean, are owners going to be reluctant to provide more housing, which I'm assuming, as in Jersey City, as in the rest of the state, there's a shortage of affordable housing. Or at least there's a need for more affordable housing, and more housing in general. I'm curious as to how this affects that movement, that progress that the city is trying to make.
Absolutely. And the housing shortage is a nationwide problem. We know that it's an unprecedented number to see how many units are put online and still there continues to be a shortage. But specifically with New Jersey and Jersey City, the right to counsel office is going to change the relationship that tenants have with their landlord and vice versa, but we are going to see a chilling effect, okay. and we already have with some of the other secret taxes. We're going to see a chilling effect as another regulatory hurdle is being imposed on the creation of any units, let alone an affordable unit. Okay. Right now, the amount of money to bring a unit online and the cost of goods and services continue to go up, and ultimately, that has to get paid for. There were programs prior with HUD to assist in bridging the gap between the creation and making something affordable, but that doesn't help. From a business standpoint, a business is going to second guess. In addition to the impact fee of 1.5% for residential, 2.5% for non-residential for the additional creation. And for a long time, the administration and the business community had a great relationship, more encouragement to bring the economic development to this corridor. We're fortunate to be right outside of New York City, but there are more hurdles that are affecting us. Recently, CNBC had a list of the businesses to do business in the United States. Mm-hmm. And while North Carolina was number one, we are 19. Right. And We are right in the middle between Pennsylvania and New York, but we're going to continue to fall further down that list if we don't come up with more solutions and having conversations with the stakeholders to not only continue to bring that economic development to our corridors and keep them here. Development will happen for residential and otherwise outside of Jersey City. And that is not the direction that we want to see this going.
All right. Speaking of outside of Jersey City, moving on to Newark, where the city council passed an ordinance limiting the amount of rent increases on new non-rent controlled apartments. I know you focus on Jersey City, but I'm curious: are you concerned about that kind of thing and that being adopted in other cities and around the state?
Yes, I what we see with what's happening in Newark, when a policy is put in place to make someone do something that they should be doing, it is going to stall what should be created, and then you have to pivot. The direction that Newark is going in, and if that works for them, I'm not going to go that far down, but policies like that, if it's spread out through the state, it is going to continue to have the adverse effects, and it's not going to encourage more development, it's going to slow it down. So that is a policy that is currently being discussed with our neighbor, but it is not something that statewide is going to signal that we are looking for business. It is going to signal that it should be built elsewhere and not in corridors.
Okay. I ask that because obviously Mayor Fulop is already running for governor. Mayor Baraka has been, you know, the great mentioner has mentioned Mayor Baraka as a potential gubernatorial candidate. They would arguably be fairly strong candidates, at least at this point. If one of them became governor, are you concerned that they would pursue these kinds of things statewide, number one? And number two, do you think there's an appetite in the legislature for those sorts of things?
Well, seeing as though there's one declared candidate right now, and there are other, you know, aspirations, as sure. We're hearing, anyone who is considering policies that are, again, going to stunt development, create another barrier, these are not policies that we want to see. And while there have been successes, as I mentioned before, with a partnership, with a conversation with the stakeholders, we will have to see what types of policies are going to be proposed.
Okay.
And when I come back on the show after the gubernatorial or other candidates are selected, we can have a further discussion on the direction of where Jersey City is going to be, and New Jersey, not only now, but 30 years from now.
Okay. Well, I will definitely take you up on that, and we will revisit the issue. Before I let you go, though, I would like to hear a little bit about what your organization. We've talked a lot about what you don't want. I'm curious. Is there a sort of a proactive stance that you have? I mean, what kind of policy should Jersey City and cities like Jersey City that, you know, and truthfully, in the past, it's done pretty well. I mean, it's if you look at Jersey City and even Newark now, there is a lot of development activity. I'm curious as to what you think should be done to kind of to keep that momentum going. And again, we mentioned the lack of affordable housing. What sort of policies would you recommend? What would you like to see? Just not only the municipal governments, but state governments and county governments pursue.
Yes, absolutely. And just taking one step back, we are in support of many of the things that are happening with the city. And as you just mentioned, and I alluded to earlier, the administration for many years having conversations and with, you know, the stakeholders to bring the community together to find ways to create more housing. Those are policies that we're interested in. We are not a no conversation. However, what does owning an apartment in Jersey City look like for the next 30 years? I mentioned earlier, there were HUD programs to help bridge that gap. There were programs that provided assistance to renters and rent relief. We see that the County of Hudson put together a program to provide not only a program similar to what is proposed in the Right to Counsel, but it's also further backed up by providing rental assistance. If someone is falling on hard times, here is assistance that's being provided. Jersey City is taking the approach where we're going to provide you with a lawyer, but at this time, no other rental assistance. And even while amendments are currently being proposed and excluding the fee for 1 to 4 apartments, there's about 10,000 properties in Jersey City that range from 1 to 4 family that do not benefit from this service that's being provided. So advocating for what is going to be best to continue to create more housing that we so desperately need, focus more on the advocacy to get some of those programs back, whether it's HUD or some other state opportunity, and having open dialogue with the stakeholders, not only of the property owners, everyone else who is involved. And these type of fees, the trickle down affects everyone from the renter down to the contractors and the employees, from the union doorman to the engineer who is servicing that building. So we want to make sure that the economic activity for both the apartment ownership as well as the clearing the regulatory hurdles to build more affordable housing, not only in Jersey City, but for the state of New Jersey.
Okay, well, it's a critical issue, and I do hope you'll come back and not wait until after the gubernatorial election, which is still a couple of years off. But
we'll be speaking much sooner, I'm sure.
Good. I hope so. I will look forward to it. Wendy Paul, Executive Director of the Jersey City Apartment Owners Association, thank you very much for joining me today. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Looking forward to speaking to you again.
And thank you for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.